not getting distracted during worship because the Holy Ghost was just talking to me. Jacob, can you come here? He's talking to me about you the whole time. Come on, stand up here. You have no idea all that the Lord has for you up ahead in your future. It's more than your mind can comprehend. It's more than your flesh would be able to handle. But He's got things for you to do for Him specifically. And He dropped it in my spirit just now as plain as day. And I didn't know how I got through worship because I was just trying to think, God, stay on the words because He's talking to me about you. So begin to seek Him. Begin to pray much in other tongues because what He has for you is more than you can ever believe and fathom. More than you could ever even understand. An Ephesians 3:20 type things for you to do for Him. Amen? Hallelujah. He's got it for you. You're the man for the job. Praise God. Begin to seek Him. Get it downloaded. And tonight He wants to give you an impartation. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless him, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. It'll all come to pass. Let's just thank Him for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And if you'll seek Him, He'll talk to you. If you'll seek Him, He'll talk to you about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that impartation, Father. Oh, you're so good to us. We praise you, Father. Be God. Just be God here tonight. You know, right before, I shower before I come here. Try to clean up a little bit, you know. And right before I was getting ready, I didn't even realize it, so I just started praying. I knew that a word of knowledge and the word of wisdom were to operate tonight. I don't know if that's it, but word of knowledge showed me stuff about him right now, but showed me things in his future word of wisdom. And I said, so be it, Lord, as I got ready tonight, you know, that sounds good. And then he was talking to me all about that up there when I was worshiping. And I don't know, did I mess any words up? Because I just was trying to keep my mind out of it, you know, So we'll just see what else he has for us tonight. If there's more, there's more. But if not, praise God for what Jacob got. We're with you. We believe for God's highest and best with you. You know, when one of us prospers and increases, we all do. As a family, amen. And I just believe your hunger and faith draw that kind of stuff out. So praise God, praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to John chapter 4 and verse 23. There's things I could say, Jacob, but I always tell my pastor, you know, what can you tell me? He said, if I told you things, you wouldn't have to pray, you know, and you wouldn't have to get it from God. And it means something when you get things from him. Amen. John 4. John 4 and verse 23. Father, thank you so much for church. Lord, this is where we hear from you. This is where we have experiences with you, encounters with you. And so, Father, we're just so grateful for what's already been done here. Lord, what we've talked about in the offering message, that built our faith. What, just to be able to praise and worship you together was special. And Father, to be able to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And you told me it was going to happen tonight, Father. I didn't think anything more of it until just praying a second ago. And Father, what more do you have for us? How exciting. We're thrilled. We just want you to know we're thrilled, Father. We're thrilled to be here. It's a joy and an honor to be here. So, Father, thank you for what we're about to receive. It's going to be good. We trust it's going to be good, and we're going to get something. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. I will say this, which is it's exciting. And when I say this next thing, you know, sometimes I can be sarcastic and, you know, maybe not fully mean what I say, but I'm not being sarcastic at all when I say this. This might not be the case for all of you tonight. You may have heard, it'll make sense what I'm saying now. It'll make sense in a second. This might be nothing new for you, and you might have heard it before, but tonight I am going to preach something that I've never heard before myself. I know people have got this revelation. I've never heard it. I've never heard it taught to me as far as I know, and I've never taught it before, but as I was meditating today on what we were sharing, the Lord began to download things into my heart about this, and I saw things concerning what we're going to talk about that will bring us into it brought me into a deeper and a greater revelation. And again, you might have already heard it preached and you already might know this, but I'm just saying for me, I've never heard it before. That doesn't mean I'm the only one with the revelation. I'm just saying my ears have never heard it as far as I know, and I know I've never preached it. So there's that to look forward to. Praise God. So let's get into it, and I'll tell you when that time comes, of course. And maybe if you're ignorant to the whole thing, you'll think the whole thing's just an amazing new revelation for me, which is great too, you know? Praise God. John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So the subject here is worshiping the Father. And, you know, just real quick, get into some teaching things here to lay a foundation. I always believe we're building something, you lay a foundation first. When it talks about worshiping Him, I want to break worship down into the simplest form of what it is. In Psalms 104, it says to what? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. So it's talking about entering into where He's at, right? And so really, the simplest form of worship and what way we can break worship down is coming unto Him, right? Worship brings us into His presence. Worship is where He's at. It's coming unto Him. And so if you go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, so enter into His gates with thanksgiving. That's worship, that's praise. Into His courts with praise. That's the giving of thanks, the worship. There's an entering in. And so it's coming unto Him. Worship is coming unto Him. Really, coming unto Him, really, if you break it down even simpler, is prayer, right? You come unto Him, it's prayer. And Brother Hagin said it this way, the highest form of prayer, I believe there's 9 different types of prayer, the highest form of prayer is the prayer of praise and worship. And one of the reasons it's the highest form of prayer is because for all the other prayers to be effective, they all have to have the element of praise and worship in all the other 8 of them to be effective. But it's one of the highest forms. So really, it's praying, it's worship, coming unto Him. And so Hebrews 4 tells us something about that. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto Him. Right? That's coming unto Him, throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And so when we go unto Him, it's a place where we get our needs met. It's a place of answers. It's a place of help. It's a place of anointing, healing, blessing, revelation, things like that. Well, if worship, so follow me here then. Go back to John chapter 4 and verse 23. If worship, if coming unto Him is simply prayer, and the highest form of that prayer is praise and worship, you could say it this way, because when we worship, it kind of goes hand in hand. When we worship, it also puts us in His presence, is what I'm trying to say. And so in John 4 and verse 23, in Hebrews it says, when we come unto Him, that's where we receive our help. Come unto me boldly, that you may obtain. So what's he saying? If you don't come unto me, the help's not there. The way to get the help is to come unto me. Well, one of the ways to come unto Him, the highest form of the way to come unto Him, is through praise and worship. Does that make sense up until this point? And so notice what he says here. He says, the hour comes and now is that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him. Now remember, what is worshiping Him? Worshiping Him is just a form of prayer. It's the highest form of prayer. But what is prayer and worship? It's really just coming unto Him, which what is coming unto Him? It's our help. It's our place to receive. He says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him, or they that come unto Him, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm not going to focus so much on the spirit aspect today. Really, what that's mostly talking about is now we're in a different place than the Old Testament people. We can worship from our spirit because we have God dwelling on the inside of us. And it's talking about worshiping from that place, that location of the spirit man, the heart, because God wants your heart. Amen. And so it's talking about heartfelt worship, spiritual worship coming from the spirit of man, not the flesh or the mind. But I don't want to focus on that tonight because that's not where the Holy Ghost is leading us. He wants us to get something across about this truth, and we'll be blessed tonight. We will. But notice this. He said, they that worship me. Well, remember, what's worship? Worship is just prayer, the highest form of prayer. Which is what? Prayer is what? Coming unto Him. Which we saw in Hebrews is what? the place of our help. So he's saying, they that worship me, or you could say it this way, they that come unto me, they that come into my presence to receive of me, must come in a way or a platform or a stance of truth. You see it there? Must. You see that word must? Not optional. He's saying nowadays, true worshipers, you can't worship if you're not in spirit, because you're not his if you're not in spirit. Because all Christians are now born again and have been changed on the inside. That's a requirement to worship him, right? People can worship God in vain, and they do all the time. But he says, you must, to properly worship me, number one, it's got to be by the Spirit. But he says, there's also got to be by truth. Amen? So you could say it this way. We can't even properly come into his presence the right way if it's not in truth. Right? Because he says you got to come in truth. Must worship me in truth. Remember, we're neglecting the spirit part here today. You can't even properly worship or come into his presence from a standpoint of truth. You must worship me. What's worship? Coming unto him. You must come unto me in truth. Or you could say it this way, because coming unto him is receiving of him. You can't receive from him if it's not based on truth. Now, we're going somewhere with this. Just, it'll clear up with you. But notice this in John 4, in verse 23, it says, the Father is seeking such to worship him. It means he's looking for it. And then he wants you to know, it's a requirement in verse 24. You must come in spirit and you must come in truth. So to come unto him properly, to worship him, to come into his presence where we receive, it can't be done right unless it's not done by truth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But notice the Father seeking such. He's actively, listen, when you play hide and seek, if you're not the hider, and after you've counted and you go, what are you? You're actively seeking that which you can't find. Amen? Hide and seek. You know, I used to laugh when Caleb and Abby would play it because there wasn't much seeking necessary when she was smaller, because she was afraid to hide in any places that were alone. So she'd hide, quote unquote, in the places where people could see her, and there wasn't much seeking. That's not seeking. That's just counting, there you are. Right? Seeking denotes the idea that he's looking for something. Right? He's looking for people that will worship him. When this all comes together tonight, you're going to walk out of here so blessed. He is looking for people, seeking them to worship him. From a place of truth, searching for it. It's a requirement. Amen? And I can tell you from being in full-time ministry for 10 years and being around people in different camps and different Christians and family and in church settings with people, I can tell you that the majority of people are not living from a platform of truth that would be acceptable to him. And I'll explain what. And he says it's a requirement. For you to worship me, to come into my presence, come boldly into my presence, he said. To why? Receive. To come boldly, to fully receive, to get the depths of what he has for you. It cannot be accomplished without truth. And I'm telling you that most Christians are not approaching from a platform of truth. And what I mean by that, they're not living from that place. And when I mean living, I mean thinking in line with truth, talking in line with truth, planning in line with truth, right? Raising their family, conducting their finances, all sorts of things. People are not coming in truth. And he says, if you want to worship me, what's worship? Being in his presence where the good stuff happens. Truth cannot be left out. It is a must. And many people are struggling with it. Amen. Truth is vital. Amen. Now, go with me to Numbers 23:19. What is truth? Well, thankfully the Bible tells us what truth is. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The simplest and the most accurate picture of truth is God. God is truth. Everything about him is truth, right? When he opens his mouth, truth comes out of it. Amen. Praise God. Now, God himself is truth. Remember what Jesus said? Remember, Jesus was just the picture of God on the earth. What did he say? I am the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, God is truth, Jesus is truth. Now, this word truth, we throw this verse around a lot. I do all the time around here. We use this verse all the time. Go to John 8:32. We know this verse and what it says here. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, there's that word truth again. The truth here, the Bible tells us, can set us free. What's that mean? You're in a place of struggle, in a place of need. Truth came, and you were set free, right? Well, what truth is he talking about? Verse 31 tells us. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So what's the truth? The truth is the word. Right? Verse 31 says, continue in my word. And then Jesus, he just interchanged the two things. Truth and the word are the same things. Because God is the truth, God is the word. Jesus is the truth, Jesus spoke the truth, and Jesus is the word. And so in verse 31, he called it the word, but in verse 32, he called it the truth. Right? Same thing. He said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and if you know the truth, the word, you'll be set free. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to get to more of this. I don't want to get ahead of myself here later about truth, because this word says that if we would know the truth, we'd be set free. But we casually throw that around. Just know the truth and you'll be set free. But there's so much more, and the Holy Ghost showed, that's what the Holy Ghost showed me. But before we get there, so God is truth, his word is truth, where our enemy, on the other hand, is the epitome of the opposite of the truth, right? I want to go to verses real quick. Go to John 8:44, talking about the enemy Satan. John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode or dwelt not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is the exact opposite of our father. Amen. Go to Revelation 12 and verse 9, just to further show you the enemy and who he is. Revelation 12 and verse 9. My point is this, I want you set free tonight. Amen. And God's given us the recipe to do it, praise God. Revelation 12, 9. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That doesn't sound like a truth teller. One more reference, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Devil's a liar. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Wait a second here, that's not right. Maybe it's 2nd. I wrote it down wrong. One second here. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, that means no surprise, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That word transformed means disguised. Why is he wearing a disguise? He's trying to deceive people. He's not a truth teller. So God is truth, the devil's opposite of truth. Now, think about this for a second. This is a big revelation. This isn't what I'm talking about, but it's a big revelation if you get this. If the truth can set you free. That's freedom in every oppressed area. And the devil is the opposite of truth, and his very goal is to keep you from freedom in every area. God wants you in freedom in every area. The devil wants you in bondage in every area. Well, if God's going to use his words to get you into that freedom, the word truth, and the devil's the opposite of that, trying to get you into bondage, how do you think the devil's going to try to get you into bondage? The same way Jesus is going to try to get you into truth, through words. They're speaking to you. Amen? Amen? And we know that. We know that. Through what? Through thoughts, right? Imaginations, circumstances. Speak something to somebody else and then they run their mouth and you hear that lie or whatever, you know, and that's how the devil works, through deception. To what? Get you in bondage the same way truth's meant to set you free. Hallelujah. So we must make sure if the truth is what sets us free, is it? It is. And it's the opposite of truth that keeps us in bondage. Because that's what the devil's the opposite of truth, and his goal is to what? Lock you up. We must guard and protect truth at all costs. Because it's the very thing that's our lock and our combination to get out of every problem. Every issue of bondage that anyone faces is just truth, known truth away. He didn't say if you know the truth on this subject but not this. No, if you know the truth in any area that you are not in freedom, freedom can be yours if you know the truth. Okay? But here's the thing. Go back to John 8:31. Now we're going to go into some the things that the Lord revealed to me. I'm just saying for me, it was so eye-opening in Revelation. For you, it might not be, and I don't mean that sarcastically or... Do you see how much... Do you see the emphasis on truth? Freedom's truth away. The struggle in your finances. The problem is not needing more money. It's needing to know more truth, because when you know the truth, that'll set you free from that bondage. That physical problem isn't... It's not the symptoms kicking up that are your problem. Because known truth sets you free from that stuff. That condemnation, that addiction, that thing that's holding you down. It's known truth away from being completely free. It needs to be protected. And so we look at John 8:31. He said, if you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed. And then he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And we say that. And people stay in bondage. We say, we just know the truth. And so then what do? We think that knowing the truth means, just like that woman in, we won't turn there for time's sake. In Matthew 15, Syrophoenician woman, grievously vexed the devil, came unto Jesus. She said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, she's not a Jew, so he's not Son of David to her. She's not speaking from a place of truth. She's speaking not from her heart. She's speaking from what she's heard other people say about him. My revelation... Oh, I just saw some green stuff under here. Whoever put that there, thank you. I saw it just now, thank you. Sorry I got excited about seeing money. I mean, you wouldn't do that, would you? But she saw Jesus, and she spoke what someone else... Jesus always responds to faith. So we know Son of David, have mercy on me was not a cry of faith, or he would have responded to her. He ignored her. He wanted what's coming from her heart, right? Where's her faith at? So he's got to get her to that place. Well, so many people think known truth is, oh, I know a scripture on healing, so by his stripes I'm healed. I know the truth. I know that verse. Then I'm set free. That's not what known truth is. And the Lord showed me what known truth is today. Are you ready for this? Oh, man. We skim over this because remember, the answer to our problems are right in this verse right here. Knowing the truth. Knowing the truth. Do you know the truth for your own life and your own problems? Now you say, well, I know some scriptures. That doesn't mean you know the truth. I'm going to show you biblically what it looks like to know the truth. It can't be, well, Pastor Mike got healed, so you'll do the same for me. That's living off my revelation. Well, Pastor Mike got blessed. That's not, he said, you got to know the truth. But what does known truth look up? So I kept going back to that word know. And when I study the word, I just keep my heart open to the Holy Ghost. I don't go looking for revelation. I just go looking for whatever he shows me. And it was so interesting. This happens at times. I had an unction in my heart, clear in my spirit. Look up that word in the Greek and see what that word is in the Greek, to know. Because he said, if I know the truth. We know that the truth, it has the power and ability to set us free, but our part of it is knowing it. So he didn't want to focus on anything in that verse except for my part this afternoon. So look up the word known in the Greek. Well, it's a little word, and I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's spelled G-I-N-O-S-K-O, ginosko. I don't know if it's G silent, G, maybe it's a G, it's a gun, ginosko. But that's the word. Now, this is what it means. Now, follow along with me here as I take you on the ride that the Holy Ghost took me today. Because it can't be just about knowing Scripture, because people are still in bondage year after year after year, and they know the Scriptures. They know the Scriptures. That word ginosko or ginosko or hinosko, if that's silent, whatever, means to become acquainted with or to know. But it's deeper than that. And, you know, I'll do my best tonight to not take us on a tour of Project No. I'll do my best, you know, and keep it as mild as we can with terminology and things with young ears here. But to know means, that word means, it's an idiom for relations between a husband and a wife. Where are you going with this, Pastor Mike? Then the Holy Ghost reminded me of what Mary said in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Holy Ghost said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. She said, how can this be, for I have not known a man? And we know that means not to know his name. Not to know of them. We know what that means, relations. Hallelujah. So I said to the Lord, I said, what in the world are you telling me? What are you telling me, Lord? You're pointing to me the fact that this word known is a deeply, intimately acquainted, the most intimate of acquaintances possible on planet Earth. It's the same Greek word when Mary said, I've not known a man. He said, that's the level of known truth that will bring freedom in every case. So I said, what does that look like, Father? What do you mean by that? And he took me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. I was on a ride today by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Now, if you understand the context of what he's talking about here, he's talking about a marriage, a husband and a wife. That's the cause. He says, what cause does a man leave his father? The cause of marriage. So I'm saving you time reading that. You can look at it later. A man shall leave his father and mother. They shall be joined unto his wife. Now look at what happens in God's view of marriage. And then I'm going to point something out about marriage. The two shall be one. Okay? He says, when a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves unto his wife in marriage, in God's eyes, there's not two anymore. The two become one. But this is what you have to understand about our Father. And again, I'll try to keep it as good as possible here. Marriage. Okay, the easy way I can say it is this. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't separate it from speaking in tongues. We've looked at that. There is the baptism, the initial experience, and then there's the experience of speaking in tongues. You can't just speak in tongues, and you can't just say, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. They go together. The same way that in God's eyes, and I'll show you in the Word, when He looks at marriage, He doesn't just look at the institution of marriage, He looks at the consummation of marriage, of the knowing one another, as goes along, they're one. It's not just the signing of the paper in front of the minister and following the laws of the land. What goes with it in God's eyes is the flesh becoming one. And that's talking about the relationship, the knowing, the relations, all that Project No stuff. But that's what he's... But you have to understand that when God looks at marriage, He doesn't separate the consummation of a marriage from a marriage. They go together. What in the world are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Hallelujah. I want to show you that in God's view, not to stay on this point to make us feel awkward, but it's in the Word. And God's view of marriage, when He sees marriage, He sees that physical relationship part. It's not separate. It goes with it. Just like tongues is not some separate thing that maybe. No. God doesn't look at that as that's maybe what should go on in a marriage. God looks at that as that's a part of it. Amen? You see, show me in the Word, I will. Now concerning the things where you wrote of me, chapter 7, verse 1, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, that sexual sin, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. So what's he talking about in the context here? Marriage. Now what did the Bible say about marriage in Ephesians 5? To become one flesh. He said in verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Now, if you look at these in more modern translations, it'll be clearer to you. And likewise, the wife unto the husband. This is specifically talking about physical relationship. It's saying, let the wife render that unto the husband, let the husband render that unto the wife. What are they saying? Don't be keeping that from one another. That's part of it. That's what he's saying, amen? He says, the wife has not power over her own body, but the husband has power over her body. And the husband doesn't have power over his body, but the wife has power over his body. So what it's saying in a marriage is, it's wrong for one to withhold and say, no, my body, no, it's not in God's eyes. You became one flesh. It's a part of it. When you sign up for marriage, that's a part of it. Amen. Now again, this is not what we're talking about. We're not going marriage counseling 101 here tonight. But there's things we can get from it anyways. But to what we're getting to the known truth part, you got to see something. So he said, this is what happens in the marriage. And then he says, verse 5, defraud you not one another. Don't withhold one another. Except, he said, the only time it's acceptable to withhold that is that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, but come together again, what? In the way of knowing one another in that relationship that's set aside for marriage and marriage only, that Satan tempts you not for your unfaithfulness or your weakness. Incontinency is what he's talking about there. So he says, in a marriage, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of fornication, because Paul talked about people's passions burning, he said, get married, but in the marriage comes this. The wife has no control over her body, the husband has no control over her body. It's you're in this together, going along the lines of the Word, praise God, and fulfilling the roles of a husband and a wife is the way it should be. And he says, the only time that it's acceptable to withhold that from one another is to say, honey, I'm fasting and setting aside time to prayer, but when that is done, you come together, because if not, the Bible says the devil can get in. Okay, here's my point, though. When God looks at a marriage, look at what he looks at comes right along with it, the oneness. The two flesh, not just standing there with a marriage certificate. What comes along with the marriage is the coming together of oneness. Only in marriage. Amen? Only in marriage, young people. Save yourself. Praise God. coming together. So, here's, okay, so now we have that established. So what is the Lord saying to us? Go back to me to John chapter 8 and verse 32. Remember, if we know the truth, we'll be set free. Christians have not known the truth on the level that God is saying will set you free. But Pastor Mike, what is that? I don't understand what it means or looks like. Well, John 8:32, if you know the truth, well, what does that word know mean? Well, it's the same word used to come together in a marriage, to be intimately acquainted. How much so intimately acquainted? The most intimate acquaintance a person can have is to become one flesh with another person. If the light bulbs aren't going off, let me pull your chain right now. He is saying you need to become one flesh with the Word. What does that mean? You are not a separate entity from the Word. You are the Word. You have joined yourself so intimately that you are not your own self anymore. You are the Word. What does that mean? Now, this is what I'm talking about. Why people don't receive. I'll just make it simple in two areas. Your money and your health. The Word says that you are healed. Right now, no matter what's in your body, no matter what the symptoms say, the truth, which is the Word, says you are healed. To come together with that, to be one flesh with that, to lose yourself, to come together and submit to that, would be you taking on the idea and the convincing that I am healed. Because that's what the Word says, and I've joined to it. The Word says you are rich right now. But what do people say? Well, you know, when the money comes and this and that. No. To be intimately acquainted means to become one with, to become one with the Word. What's that mean? You, your thoughts, your talking, your planning, your conversations, morph into this. Because you join to this. You become one with this. You become, so, how intimately acquainted? One flesh. One. That means there's only one thought process, and his thought process is the truth. So we don't make the words line up to us. We line up to the Word because it's the truth, but we have to know it that deeply. And I'll tell you how to know it that deeply. A person that is so intimately acquainted with the Word, in that deep of acquaintance, are the people that walk into the freedom. We marvel at my $2,000 a month testimony. For 2 years, went on like that, with no salary. But if there's one thing that I had gotten myself to was such an intimate acquaintance with the Word that I knew I was rich. I knew money had to show up. I just knew there's no way that this isn't going to happen. Things in my body in the past and experience things where doctors are saying and smart people and people with degrees and doctors' reports and medical things and symptoms in my body are saying one thing and saying another thing and they're showing me on the tests and I'm feeling it. And I can read it online and read it in books and tell me it's incurable. There's no medicine for it. I was so intimately acquainted with becoming one with this truth, which was what? I'm healed now. Why people never see their freedom is because they never get to this type of an intimate acquaintance with the Word. We're intimately acquainted with our symptoms. We're intimately acquainted with our thoughts. We're intimately acquainted with what our checkbook says. Right? What so-and-so has said. And then we just say, oh, but I'm just going to, I'll just Philippians 4:19 that. No, you don't just Philippians 4:19 that. You are Philippians 4:19. You became Philippians 4:19. That is how you think. That is how you talk. That is how you look at things. That is how you proceed. Why? You know it. You became one to it. When God sees a husband and wife, He doesn't look at two separate entities anymore. When they come together in the most intimate of knowing one another, He sees one flesh from His standpoint. And He says, if you know the Word that way, Mary said, I don't know, I've never known a man that way. He said, that's how you got to know the Word. Where it is so much you that it doesn't matter what anything in the outward is saying. You are only governed in every area of your life. You're talking, you're walking, you're thinking, you're speaking by what this book says. Because that's who you are. You've joined yourself intimately. You've become one with it. Praise God is right. Hallelujah. So many Christians, you know, are acquainted with facts. Facts and truth aren't the same thing. Amen. Let me give you an example. And see, the problem is our senses deal in the fact realm. We see facts. We deal in facts. You know, if Caleb asks me, hey, Dad, can we go to a baseball game this summer? And out of my mouth, I say, yes. It's settled. He knows it's settled, right? I'm not God, but He knows my word. We're going to a baseball. If I say it, we're going. That's the truth. But you know what the facts are going to tell him tomorrow when he's in school? You ain't anywhere near a ballpark. You know what the facts of the weather are going to say outside? The facts of what he can see outside are, there's never going to be baseball ever again. That's what the facts are. Right? That's what the facts are. The temperature right now factually tells us something. But we know the truth on what's going to change. See, facts are subject to change. Truth isn't. Facts are subject to change, but truth isn't. Is it a fact that you have no money in your bank account? Yes, it is, but it's not the truth. Because the facts will tell you that you can't meet your needs because of what's in the bank account, but the truth tells you, I don't care what the bank account says. Is there facts that tell you your body's a certain way? Doctors' reports, those are facts. We don't deny them. Those are facts, right? But they're not truth. Truth trumps fact. And until we know the truth, how do we know the truth? Become so intimately acquainted like a husband and wife would, becoming one flesh where this is our thought process, this is our speak, this is how we live, this is how we think, this is how we plan, this is how we daydream. If you're not laying there daydreaming, your thought, if you are one with it, your thoughts are the same. If you're not talking it, you've not become one with it. If you're not planning for it, you've not become one with it. Amen. You know how you know that you know that you know that you know? You know the only way that should be proof that a husband and wife consummated their marriage? Those two little kids right there. When there's a birth. When there's a birth. Yeah. When you know the truth on that level, and you consummate that relationship, there'll be a birth. It's called faith. It's called faith. That's when you know. You know that you know when your thoughts are this, you're talking this, it doesn't matter. You can laugh at that paycheck, laugh at that bank account. If the bank account still scares you, if the checkbook still scares you, if the symptoms still scare you, if the rumors still scare you, and you're doubting and you're pacing the floor, there's been no consummation yet. Because the proof of it is the child, and the child is faith. Praise God. Go with me to 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. Hallelujah. I want us to get to a place where it doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter how many years, it doesn't matter how bad it looks. We are so acquainted with this and have become so one with this that this is the only thing that governs us. Amen. Glory to God. You need to think about the children of Israel. And God spoke truth to him, didn't he? He said, this land is yours. But what did the facts say? This land is not yours. And they were so intimately acquainted. They became one with the facts, right? Because the facts said no, and what did they start saying? No. The facts look scary, so what were they? Scared. They became one. They knew the facts inside and out. When the truth was there all along, and it would have set them free. 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. Oh, did I go to the wrong place again? I did. Of course I did. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. I was probably so excited that I just didn't get the two out. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. We're going to do well that you take heed to it. What's taking heed to it? Become acquainted to it. In what kind of way? The deepest way possible. Become one with it. As unto a light that shines in a dark place, until when? Until the day dawn and the day star arises in your hearts. I can't tell you, there was years ago, I went through a severe battle of condemnation, suicidal thoughts, beating myself up like you wouldn't believe. And the Bible talks about no condemnation for His children. All the stuff that I was thinking on could be disputed by the Word, but I was thinking on it. The devil was doing his thing. What? Lying to me, keeping me in bondage. By speak. Right? His words are meant to put people in bondage. God's words are meant to set people free. And I became intimately acquainted with those words and beat myself up, had thoughts, you know, things. It's the same thing you've done for yourself in finances. It's the same thing, what I mean, where you get into a place where you're convinced your money's never going to change. Where you have more faith that it's not going to change. Where you are more convinced that your body, that you're never going to be off that medication. You have more faith in the medication, more faith in the doctors. That's just telling you where you're acquainted with, okay? I'm not belittling that. I'm telling you a time when I was there. And I was so acquainted with condemnation and guilt and shame. And I needed there to be a birth. We know a couple in one of the family churches. I love it. Just their passion, their fire. They're believing God for a baby. They're just going to keep trying. Keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, and they're going to keep believing God, believing God, believing God, and there'll be a baby. It'll come to pass. But my point is this. I heard that word on condemnation. And there's nothing born. I'm going to become intimately acquainted with it. I'd say, you know, there's no condemnation. It wouldn't touch me. So you know what I did? I gave heed to this word. And I listened to a message preached over 1,000 times, and I'm not exaggerating, to the point where I could memorize the message from start to finish. It was a Pastor Nancy Dufresne message. And I would preach it as she preached it in my car. And I had her accent down, and I had her voice inflection down. And every time she stuttered and paused, I had it down to a T, did I not? It's the truth. And I just kept hearing. Go to Romans 10:17. What did he say? Take heed till the day star rises. Take heed till the day star rises. Keep taking heed till the day star rises. Take heed. Keep going back into that place of acquaintance. Keep going back to that place of intimacy till something's birthed. Till something's conceived. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And I just kept listening. And listening, and I can't tell you the exact moment, time, place where I was, but all of a sudden something rose up in my spirit, and I knew that I knew. The thoughts had not stopped, the feelings had not stopped, the pressure had not stopped, but something had changed within me. I was pregnant. When a woman becomes pregnant, the outward does not change. But something on the inside does. And the outward didn't change. And I was pregnant. And all of a sudden I knew what I was pregnant with. Faith. And I knew I was free. And I didn't care what the thoughts said anymore. And I didn't care how it felt anymore. And I didn't care about the pressure anymore. The only thing that governed me was the thing I had become one with, the Word. And the proof was in the faith. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll just close with this. We want to be set free. We know the recipe. We got to know the truth. But it's not about knowing a scripture. That doesn't, just because you can quote a scripture doesn't mean you know it intimately. When you know it intimately on the level, remember, because when God sees the most intimate thing ever, he looks and says, there's not two, there's one down there. When we know the Word like a husband and wife knows each other, the Bible says we become one with it. And that means we think the way it thinks. We only talk the way it talks. We only talk healing. But our body says, it doesn't matter, we're one with the Word says. So you have to get over the fact that truth trumps fact. Fact was Abraham's never having a child, but God's truth was, you're already a daddy. I already made you a father of many nations. They're not even a baby in your wife's tummy yet. Why? That's how God looks at things. If God calls you healed, he already looks at you and says, you're already healed. You're already healed. But until you see yourself like that, you'll never get it. He already looks at you as rich. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, I made him to be poor so you could be rich. He already looks at you as well supplied. What if some of you took this and got intimately acquainted with how righteous you really were? The Bible says, if you become one with this, you can't help but walk around knowing I'm righteous. The condemnation goes out the window when that happens. What about when you become one with the power that's in you, the addictions start to... It's the truth. We want to be set free. Well, how are we going to do it? We're going to take the time to know his Word. To what? The day star rises. When the day star rises, what happens? We become one with the Word. We need to become one with the Word. Amen? I am so thrilled going forward. I don't care what I feel in my body. It doesn't matter to me anymore. It matters none. Abraham got to that place, didn't he? He said, I don't consider my body now being about dead, being 100 years old. He said, that's not even in the equation. Neither yet the deadness of the one that's supposed to carry my baby, of her womb, doesn't even matter. That's when you know the Word, become one with the Word. Because what was Abraham doing when he disregarded his own body and disregarding Sarah's body? What was he doing? He was just taking on God's thoughts. Because God could give a rip how old Abraham was. And God could give a rip how old Sarah was and how dead her womb was. All God cared about was what he said. So who gives a rip what your body says? Who gives a rip what the circumstances are saying? Who gives a rip what your finances are saying? Who gives a rip what the calendar has said? When you truly know the Word and are in faith like this, the calendar doesn't mean a thing. Because here's what I'm telling you. This is your calendar. This is your future. This is your everything. And it says I'm healed and that settles it. It says I'm rich and that settles it. It says I'm righteous and that settles it. It says I'm delivered and that settles it. When you get there, that's when the freedom comes. Praise God. I've been to that place before. Been to that place down 2000. It's a great place to live. I've been to that place in sickness where it didn't matter. I didn't care about my body anymore. Praise God. And I'll tell you what, just to be open and honest with you, I've had to repent to my Father for my lack of faith. It's no secret. Why is Pastor Mike drinking all the time? Why does Pastor Mike hardly ever eat when he's in fellowship hall? It's just because I just don't want to get stuff on my suit. That's part of it. Don't want to spit what I'm talking to you. I won't go into details because someday there'll be a testimony. But I've had to repent for the things in my body that have thrown me for a loop. You all heard Pastor Nancy Dufresne twice tell me, once in Fredonia, once in Iowa, of how the devil's attacked me. Pastor Michael one time a couple years ago stood up in his camp meeting and said, the hordes of hell have come against you. That means the hordes, the masses of hell have attacked you. Reverend Greer said it the same way to me when I was down in Pensacola, Florida. And you'd think by now you know, but some of these things, they rock you. Things you're told, things you naturally feel and face. I stepped over. I don't care anymore. I'm just telling you, I don't care anymore. There's things in my life that look big, bad, and testify to me all the time. And tell me this and that, this and that, this and that. And I've been intimately acquainted with those things before. And they've brought me terror. And they brought me despair. And they brought me discouragement. Not anymore. This is the only thing that matters to me anymore. And so I'm telling you, I've had to repent, and I have. But I have crossed over. And I don't care what they say. I don't care what it looks like. I am healed. I don't care what the bank account says, what it looks like. I am rich. Amen. I don't care what oppression, what bondage. I am delivered. I am free. Praise God. And guess what? So are you. Let's stand up and worship Him tonight. Father, we praise You. And we glorify Your holy name. We praise You, Father. Devil, You're a liar. You are a liar. Truth is the only thing that we will pay attention to anymore. Truth is the only thing that we will give any time and attention to. And we will become so intimately acquainted that we will become one with the Word, regardless. And we will walk into freedom. We praise You for it, Father. Thank You for change. Thank You for change. You are so faithful. If You've said it, You are not a man that You should lie. And if You've said it, shall You not make it come to pass? We will hold fast to our profession of our faith without wavering, for You are faithful that promised. The calendar is not our judge anymore. Our symptoms are not our judge anymore. Our checkbook is not our judge anymore. What the natural looks like has no bearing on the truth and what's going to happen in our lives. So we repent and we receive Your grace and Your mercy. And we make adjustments where we need to make adjustments. And if we need to, if we need to pull a Pastor Mike and listen to 1,000 times on healing until we know that we know, until the symptoms don't matter, because I'm telling you, I'm at a place I don't care about the symptoms anymore. I don't care. I don't care about what the doctors say, what the doctors don't say, what my body says. I don't care what money says. I don't care what pressure says. I don't care what oppression says. It just doesn't matter. You are the only thing that matters, Father. Praise God. And we praise You and glorify You and we magnify Your name. Let's just wait on Him and worship Him. We praise You. Worship Him from your heart tonight. The devil is such a deceiver. And he'll deceive you in ways that hit close to home as to be believable. And he'll say things over and over and over and over again. That's why sometimes you got to listen to the right thing over and over and over again, because something's telling you something over and over and over again. And he'll lie to you. And he'll tell you it's been so long and it's not changing and it's not turning and it's money's not coming and that situation will never get different and be different and your body's never going to be the same and your body's this. And he'll tell you things in an effort to keep you locked up. You have to recognize that voice and recognize the voice of truth and become acquainted with that until that is your reality. Oh, Father, we worship You tonight. We're just so grateful. For change. I'll just say this. Someday there'll be a testimony And one thing you're going to know about your pastor when you hear the ins and outs of it is I will not quit. I will never quit. I don't care how bad it looks, how bad it feels, I don't care how scary it looks, never quitting. And if we endure to the end, we'll be saved. And if we faint not, we'll reap. And Father, those landmark seasons that you prophesied through the prophet of God and Pastor Nancy, they'll all come to pass. They'll all come to pass. And I know how the devil works and how he's attacked. Strategic in the sense that thoughts of wanting to quit and give up and end it all at times, you know. So real. Because of what's ahead. That's what you've tried to do. And that's what you try to do to all of us. Keep us out. But you're not keeping us out. Nope. We're walking into everything you have for us, Father. You've been exposed tonight, liar. You're a liar. Just because you say it over and over does not make it true. So we call you out for who you are. And Father, we thank you for victory tonight. Thank you for change and deliverance. We love you so much. We praise your holy, mighty name. Let's just give him glory. We thank you, Father. We're glad we came tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you Sunday morning. You're